maybe we're stuck in a pandemic waiting room and still are. Yeah, no joke. We like to joke around, but kind of that's a big reality right now. And we're looking for a prison breakthrough from God. And how many people have been struggling a little bit holding on to faith that that's going to be coming sooner versus later? Yeah. How about business owners in here? People that like have their own business. This has been a time of really grabbing a hold of faith to hold on. Truth. You know, sometimes we think being stuck in a waiting room wouldn't be that bad if we just happen to know a date and a time that it would be over, because then we can hold out, right? How many of you remember we had dates and times and then they kept getting pushed and then we just stopped getting dates and times? You know, sometimes we feel like when we pray, our call to God just got stuck on hold. That's what it feels like. I'm talking about feelings right now, but how many people know our feelings are not always reality? But we're going to acknowledge what it feels like. And when our call seems to be stuck on hold with God, I feel like the worst elevator music starts rolling in our heads with those really annoying customer service prompts that say, someone will be with you shortly in these uncertain times. In these uncertain times! I'm so tired of shopping at Walmart and hearing about these uncertain times. We're sorry for the wait. Thanks for your patience. How many people know me, and patience is the most lacking fruit of the Spirit in my life? It's just not there. I get annoyed when people walk too slow. That's why I hate going to the mall. They walk too slow. So we're working through it. How many people remember a time when you actually could go to the hospital waiting room? Yeah. Yeah, remember when you used to be able to go and sit? No matter what, it was the worst feeling in the world, as you would sit there and you'd feel helpless. You feel like you could do nothing while the surgeons were working, and you felt out of control. That's the worst feeling in the world, when you know that there's things going on and you can't do anything about it and you can't control it. It feels tiresome, exhausting, and I would say almost oppressive, like this weight comes on you. And we seem to yell at the sky, fist held in the air, going, when are we going to see a breakthrough? And people kind of said some interesting things like that in the last 9 months or so. But then we go to this place after all of our emotions are spent, and we go, well, I guess we're just going to have to wait on God. I guess we're just going to have to wait. And we sit there, watch Netflix, and run the clock. How many people ran out of things on Netflix to watch that were at least appropriate? Yeah, pretty quick. So, I will say this, we have this passive, just waiting on God thing completely wrong. It's actually unscriptural, and we're going to talk about that today. See, God always has an active part for us to play, not a passive part. So 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, right? Hold tightly to the eternal truth to which God has called you. Does that sound passive to you? You just sit on your hands. I'm just waiting on God. Click, 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 click. Eating my Cocoa Puffs. No. All right. So I want to say this. God is always moving on your behalf when we're in faith. Remember, God is not moved by your emotions. God is not moved by our big showy displays or our works. We can't work and be really, really good to get God to move. Thank goodness. That's exhausting. And that's how cults are formed. Because they tell you if you're really, really, really good, you work really, really, really hard, and they show up your door in their little suits, and you sign on to their things, that you can go to heaven. That's not what it's about. It's about faith, right? So God is always moving on your behalf when we are in faith and when we praise him, because praise is the highest form of prayer, of faith. Because you actually have to see it in your heart and thank him for something before you actually see it happening. And how many know that that is a sacrifice because you normally do not feel like doing it? He partners with our prayers. So when we pray in faith, God partners with our prayers to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to earth for a breakthrough. Whether that be in healing or situation moving or it be a restoration, whatever it may be. But the thing is this, God does the work, right? We don't have to do the work. Our job is, yeah, that's right, pray in faith and praise God. But he wants to be with us in close relationship while he does the work. And that's the key to waiting. So what are we doing in the waiting room? How many people are ready to get out of the waiting room? Yeah, I'm not going to sit on my hands for however long this is going to take. I got some stuff to do, and I'm not going to sit there and pick my nose in the waiting room going, oh, I'm just going to wait on God. Click, click. Totally ran out of shows. Click, click. Just started The Mandalorian. So excited. Click, click. Okay, moving on. All right. So Romans 8:28 says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things. Everybody go, all things. Does that sound like any exceptions in there? Like something's too big for God? All right. All things work together and are fitted into a plan for good. To and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. So you qualify for good reworkings of ridiculous, crazy, messy situations if you, number one, love God. Raise your hand if you love God. Okay, qualification one, check. Number two, and are called by his name. Did you know every person born on the earth has a calling? God is calling them to do something. Number one, just be with him, and he's given them purpose in this world. So if you love God and you are called by his name, raise your hand. Every person in this room qualifies for God to rework some crazy situations for some good in your life. But the context of this, go back, we don't have time. Read Romans 8. Romans 8 is, by the way, a chapter you could probably read out loud every day over yourself and your family. It's profound. But if you look at the context of Romans 8:28, it is in the context of deep, heartfelt, intercessory prayer. That means when we pray in faith with our whole heart, and even pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, right? When you pray, God promises to then rework all things together for good, for those who love him and are called by his name. So what's our job? To pray and faith and stand. All right, so when we pray, God does the work, and the Holy Spirit starts moving and fighting the battle and bringing about victory. So there is a part, right? This is not a passive thing, but there's no weight to it. There's no weight. There's no stress out to it. All right, so let's talk about Mary, mother of Jesus. All right, so Mary, mother of Jesus, we'll kind of talk a little bit about Luke 1 through 3. But if anybody understands waiting in faith, I would definitely say Mary, mother of Jesus, knew probably better than anyone. So first of all, I've never had a baby, but for those that have, raise your hand if you've had a baby or your spouse had a baby, okay? So 9 really long, from what I've heard, incredibly uncomfortable. How many people would say being pregnant is really uncomfortable? I haven't been pregnant, but here it's like really rough, like you can't see your toes, you know, you just sitting is hard, doing everything is hard. For 9 months, you're uncomfortable. So she is not in a comfortable situation for 9 months, waiting for the birth of the promised Son of God. How many people have been praying and praying and praying for something God promised you? And it is really uncomfortable in the waiting. All right, she's also waiting for her fiancé, Joseph, to get with the program and realize, I am pregnant, not to another man, but to the Son of God, so please don't dump me. It took him a little bit to figure it out. It was pretty stressful for Mary, why he was trying to figure that out. You can go back and read about it. I talked about it a little bit last week. All right, also, she is waiting on the back of a donkey. So I've done some horseback riding. I am not built for horseback riding or pretty much anything athletic. But she was on a donkey going from like one city to another city on a really long, uncomfortable ride, trying to find an inn with no bed bugs. And in the end, she ends up in the barn to give birth to the Son of God. Fantastic. It's a lot of waiting on that one. Then she's waiting in labor pains. I hear they're a real walk in the park. To finally give birth to the promised Son of God. And after she gives birth to Jesus, she then has to wait in Egypt. This is a foreign land away from her family and friends until King Herod passes away so she can go back and it's safe to go back to her hometown. How many people I lived in Oklahoma for 11 years and had to make brand new family and friends and find jobs. That's uncomfortable. It's hard in the waiting for God's perfect timing. So then she has to wait 30 years for him to grow up and do his first miracle, which, by the way, she kind of did a good mom kind of kick, like, hey, can you, like, turn the water into wine and save the party, Jesus? 30 years waiting for him to start doing something miraculous. And then she waits another 3 years in that process of his active ministry for him to finally reveal to the world that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. And then what do? They go and kill him. And she waits the longest 3 excruciating days of her whole life to see her son resurrected from the dead to save the world. I think Mary understood waiting. You know, also, her cousin Elizabeth, you can go back and read that story, and her great-great-grandmother Sarah. So they waited a really long time to get preggo in their super old age, like waited and waited and waited. And actually, they're listed in the Heroes Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11 through 12 says, because of faith, Sarah received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who was faithful and had given her a promise, to be reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. Raise your hand if you're a parent. Okay? Raise your hand if you're a woman. Most people in the room, I'm pretty sure you understand better than anyone the excruciating waiting period. 9 months. 9 months probably feels like an eternity. But now America has been waiting 9 long, excruciating months. Actually, it's starting to tip into the 10-month period. I hear like when you get that close, they just do like an emergency, you know, surgery. It's real. I'm waiting for a suddenly right now. God, do something suddenly. So, you know, God, we've been praying, and it's been 9 months. We've been waiting, Lord, in America to see a breakthrough, to see a change. Many people have been laboring in prayer. How many people have been laboring in prayer? The one thing we're called to do is to pray in faith. Waiting to see a breakthrough in this pandemic and all it's affected. Waiting to see the economy bounce back completely and stabilize. Jobs to stabilize. Stop hearing about rumors. How many people are tired of rumors of layoffs? Wait for the vaccine to be distributed to everyone. Wait for an election outcome to be solidified. Wait for the second stimulus check. Still waiting. Some people are still waiting for the first one. How about this? How many people are waiting for your kids to finally go back to school and stay in school? Okay. How about waiting for sanity to return to the entire world? Yeah. And we say, how much longer, Lord? 9 months. We have been waiting by faith, right? And I know in my heart, God is about to birth a breakthrough. But I have to see it in my heart. And they're not things that come naturally. You have to dig into the word and build yourself up in prayer and surround yourself with people that are in faith and look back at all the times you waited for an excruciating amount of time and God showed up. It may not have been in the way you wanted him to. It may not have been the timing. It normally isn't. Read your Bible. You wanted him to. But he showed up because he is faithful. And he took a really ugly situation in your life and rework something beautiful and good out of it. Amen? So we're going to talk about 3 words, 3 active faith words for the word waiting. All right, how many people speak a couple different languages or tried to? I tried real hard. Thank you. Leslie's actually good at it. All right, so this thing happens, like, Leslie, do you remember, like, having to, like, translate in school, like, Don Quixote? And you had to, like, word for word, find a word and translate it. But not sometimes, like, you're trying to pick one word, but there were 3 other words that translated for it, for the word wait. Things get lost in translation, right? We just pick one word, but we kind of miss the complexity, the beauty of all this picture, because there's not one perfect word that translates. So the Bible was translated into Hebrew and Greek, and sometimes, that's why I like reading the Amplified Bible, it gives you several different words that were translated from it. So 3 words that get lost in translation for waiting, okay? And they're all very active faith words. I'm going to, by the way, botch the spelling of every single one of them because I didn't take Greek. So we're just going to roll with it. You guys good? Okay. So first word, chaka. Sure. I don't know. First word, chaka. It means to adhere to or long for. So it's like being super glued to God. All right? So for my youth, we do use lots of analogies. So it means an insatiable longing for God's loving company. Okay, Psalms 42, 1 through 5, I'm going to consolidate it a little bit for the sake of time, says, I long for you, God. My soul thirsts for God. My hope is in God, and I wait expectantly for him. It's not sitting on your hands eating popcorn and flicking through Netflix waiting for God to turn something around. It is a loving longing to be in his presence. We are called to wait like that. To be so super glued to God in expectation. Second word is quava, and it means to wait for with eager expectation, to bind something together vibrating. So let's just say this is some heavy-duty climbing rope. So it's like two people that are tied together on this adventure mountain climb. And these rock climbers' rope, they are so knotted to your partner in the joy and the trust of the adventure of being together. And then when you slip, you don't have to worry because God's got you. I am so wrapped up in him, tied up in him, in his presence, my safety rope of the joint adventure that if I trip and fall, he's got me. Now, my cousins are adrenaline junkies. Like, rock climbing doesn't always sound good to me, but I have tried it several times. And the fact that I am tied together with someone that knows what they're doing and tied to all these safety cords goes, you know what? If I fall, you got me. And there's an adventure and always a story to tell. So Hebrews 6, 15 through 19 says, Abraham then waited patiently and he received what God has promised. God also, ready, bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence. Faith is confidence in God. That as we hold to this hope that lies before us. Now this hope is a sure and steadfast anchor to our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. How many people have had to hold on to their thoughts and tie your thoughts to the Lord? And your emotions, tie your emotions to him so you don't slip and fall and have a breakdown. And it says, it cannot slip, it cannot break under those who step out upon it. So if you combine these words on waiting, it means eager expectation and oneness adjoining together. So longing for his presence and eager expectation because you know he's going to show up. How many people know that the Lord's going to show up? He's never late. He's never late. You're anticipating and experience that oneness, that super glued love to God, and your heart becomes entwined with his love. That is scriptural waiting. Third word, we're going to really mess this one up, prostokomia. Prostokomia. All right. It means to wait with fully receive, embrace with hope and expectation. So fully take without reservation or hesitation. So, you know, it's Christmas time. If you got a four-year-old and you got a gift, you go, hey, it's Christmas present time. Like little Jordan, right? You know, if you give him a present, he's going to run right up to Grammy. He doesn't wait. He's like, oh, you got a Christmas present? You run right up and grab it. That is how we receive God's promises in faith. We don't have to hesitate going, oh, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. Look what I did yesterday. Oh, I totally cussed out somebody because they cut me off. Oh, I don't deserve God's faithfulness. He already forgave you. Talk to him about it. Get your heart clear, right? Don't hesitate. You don't have to be good enough for God's blessings because you never will be. Because Jesus' blood was completely priceless. You can't compete with that. So just receive. Hebrews 11:1, it says, the definition of faith. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. So Amazon. Interesting. How many people are still waiting for some things from Amazon? Okay, but normally, and I will say this, you place your order online, right? You know, you go call in your order, you go put it in, and then you get an email confirmation, a piece of paper that confirms that you will receive the promised product. It just might take some time. But normally, you place your order on Amazon, and you go, it's coming. It might take a little bit longer with everything going on, but that is coming, and it's going to arrive, and I joyfully wait in full expectation of its arrival. Faith, the title deed, the confirmation. My Jeep was accidentally purchased online, long story short. And when I got the confirmation and the title deed in the mail of my Jeep that was going to be shipped, took like, I don't know, a couple weeks from Connecticut, I knew it was coming. I was joyfully celebrating. I was going to be driving a Jeep. I don't currently physically have it, but God's promises says I do, and I will celebrate that joyfully. Okay, you follow, right? So, in the a different translation, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. How many know you have to fight for that? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us the assurance about the things we cannot see. Faith, boiled down, my uncle always says this, faith is confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. It means God has your back. So active faith, waiting, positions us to receive our inheritance, the promise, okay? So Psalms 37, I'm going to read some scriptures in there, 7, 9, and 37, says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because he who prospers, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't freak out when people are getting away with evil stuff. Don't freak out, okay? It says, because the man who carries out wicked schemes, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't matter what's going on in the media. It doesn't matter about the bad report. It doesn't matter if wicked, evil people are getting away with something. Do you know why? It says, because God's faithful and he's going to stop it. And it says, you will inherit the land. So wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. So this word inherit comes from this word yeresh. Sure did pronounce that right. I bet I did. Maybe. Yeresh, okay? It means inherited. And this word translates to legally an heir, but with military invasion in order to seize your inheritance. What does that mean? That means you inherit something that the enemy doesn't want to give to you, but you legally get it. So the God of angel armies comes in like a flood and fights to win the battle and gets you the inheritance that is rightfully yours. You know, the thing about an inheritance is, how many people have ever inherited something from maybe a grandparent or a relative? You don't have to work or fight for your inheritance. It's in a legal documentation. If anybody challenges it, it goes to court and rules in your favor because the documented promise, this belongs to you. There are things that belong to you because the Word of God promises healing, right? It was already bought and won for at the cross. I don't have to fight for it. God already won it, right? But God is moving on your behalf when we pray and praise God, and he comes in, God of angel armies, to fight your battle and win to give you your inheritance. Cool things that are lost in translation. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. All right, you ever feel like you need a breakthrough like your life depended on it? Anyone recently? Yeah, your business depended on it, your family, your mortgage depended on it. We're waiting for a breakthrough. So you'll love this story. It's one of my favorites, actually. So you ever felt like you were surrounded on all sides with negative reports? And no matter how many times you tried to do your checkbook this way and that way and pay all your bills, it was not going to work out. And you're going, God, how are you going to do it? This is an impossible situation. So King Jehoshaphat was in one of those situations. He was the king in the city of Judah, and it was surrounded from all sides by enemies. So verses 1 through 3 in the message says this, the Moabites and Ammonites, by the way, we talked about the roots of those last week, accompanied by the Midianites, joined forces to make war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat received this intelligence report. A huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. And there is no time to waste. They're already at, let's just say we're in York, they're in Baltimore. They're just around the corner. And it is impossible. They're pressing in from every side. You are outnumbered. This is when they go, you know, write your will. What's God going to do? You ever feel like all your enemies and frenemies got together and decided to pick one day or one week to all just like make your life really complicated and just blow up drama all over your social media and then call you and blow up your phone and text messages, and it's just coming from every side? Anybody had a week like that or a year like that? Yeah. Like, what, I thought we were friends. What's going on? You know, it was bad enough with people that are already attacking you. So everything hit at the same time. All the bills became due at the same time. The loan got called in, your car broke down, and your mechanic said, just let it go. Okay. They announced more layoffs at work. Oh, hello, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, do I need more examples of being pressed from every side? And sometimes, how many people have said, I just want to wake up from this nightmare. I just want to wake up in 2021. Maybe at this point, at the end of 2021. All right, let's be honest. So Israel is about to experience what they think is going to be a real-life reenactment of Remember the Alamo. They think they're going to just get wiped out. And the king How many people are a key decision maker in their family? Okay. So King Jehoshaphat's the leader of Israel and his tribe, and he is shaken in his boots. He does not know what to do. It's impossible. So he does the one thing he knows he can do. He calls out to God. So in verses 3 through 4, it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as a vital need to seek the Lord. How many people know it is absolutely vital that we seek God right now? We don't get to kick back and chill. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah, and Judah gathered together to ask him for help, to ask the Lord for help, and came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. Remember these words, yearning for him, longing for him? What? It was a loving thing. God, we love you so much. You are faithful. We yearn for you. We cry out to you. How many people had a hard time hearing from God over the last 9 months during a season? It's normally because of the emotions, right? Because when circumstances get crazy, finances are just in a really bad state, you know, maybe you get yelled at every day at work and your job is to apologize all the time, even though it's not your fault. Okay, it's sometimes when your emotions are rattled in fear or you feel like you're being attacked, it's sometimes really hard to hear from God because our flesh is flipping out, right? So that's when we fast. So fasting is this, it's not a diet. So if you are fasting food or TV and not hanging out with God, that's just a glorified diet. But fasting, whether it be food or with my young adults and teens, I just encourage them to fast entertainment and distractions. Because what that does is instead of watching Netflix for 8 hours, instead of dulling the pain in another novel or just going hanging out or, you know, pouring a drink, instead, you spend time with the Lord. Follow? And I saturate myself in his presence. And I soak up his love. And I read about his faithfulness until God gets so much bigger in me than the giants surrounding me. Fasting peels off your emotions and your intellect and your reasoning till the faith that God is stirring up inside you gets so much bigger that impossible situations don't seem impossible because we serve the God of the impossible. It builds faith, and faith is what moves God. You follow? This is a really good time to fast some distractions in your life. Like I said, most of what happened for 9 months, our media was pushing, oh, we're putting more things on Netflix and this. We're going to dull and placate the masses so people stop flipping out, right? We tend to dull ourselves out in entertainment and distractions. And if you can put that time aside to seek God every day, faith will stir up in your heart and God will start moving in a tremendous way. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. Are you in a whatever it takes kind of person? Think about it. Jehoshaphat was. So he set himself to seek God. He pushed past all the distractions, put that time aside to open up his Bible and see what God had promised and read about how God had been so faithful in the past and how God had won victories in the past when they stood in faith. And he pulled out the secret weapon of praise. So Jehoshaphat, in verse 5, it says, he stood before the community of Judah. So he took time to stand up in the midst of a trial. You have to stand up in your community and your family and your church and going, I don't care what the facts are saying because my God is faithful. And the facts are always subject to change because God's word is ultimate truth. If you stand in faith and praise God, you will slowly see facts change and line up with the word of God. How many people have seen facts from doctors start to shift and line up with the word of God? I have. How many people have started to see financial situations start to change and line up to God's promises? You have to stand. Verse 6, it says, he prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all kingdoms of earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you, God. People can come against you, but can they come against God? Mm-mm. Once again, praise is the highest form of prayer. Praise is the big guns of God. Because when you meditate and declare and think about the greatness of God, you make God so much bigger than the problem. So you got to really watch what you're saying in a time of conflict. Are your words lining up with the negative reports around you? Or are your words lining up with the faithfulness of God? This is what God's word promises. All right, verses 7, 9, and 12. Jehoshaphat praise God. It says, "O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people Israel arrived?" He started looking way, 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 way back, remembering how God had won victories for his friends, his family, his relatives, and his own life. If you can't see the faithfulness of God in your own life, you better start looking for it in someone else. Why do I have to say that? Because sometimes we're so fixated on negativity, we can't even think straight. So this is why it's so important to share your testimony with people around you. Share how God had like walked you through a situation, how God's favor have turned a situation around for good. And he says, "Did you not give us this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine. I think we could check those boxes in this season, right? Says, "We can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored, and we can cry out to you to save us. And you will hear us, and you will rescue us. Our eyes are on you." What do we do when we are attacked from all sides? Where are your eyes at? They got to keep them on Jesus. And you're going to have to dig deep and recall and thank God for the past victories. So Jehoshaphat and the whole congregation stood on the promises of God. So why do we need to read our Bible? Because you need to remind yourself over and over again of God's faithfulness and his promises. You don't know what's promised to you unless you read it, right? We forget because we got facts going on that are subject to change. But God is ultimate truth. By the way, Satan really wants us to become bored during worship and ignorant of the word. People are like, "Oh, it's okay, I'll just skip worship. It's not a big deal, we're not that late." He wants us to like get out of the word. "That's okay, I have my Bible app that sends me one scripture a day." Is that going to make your spiritual muscles really strong? No. You got to have to build your muscles in praying and worship when you do not feel like it and when you're tired. All right. When you've done all that you know to do, we do what? We stand. So Ephesians 6, 13 through 14 says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the enemy comes and evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm and with the belt of truth buckled around you." God's word is truth. His promises are truth. Belts hold everything together. Without a belt, you sometimes get an embarrassing mess. Belts hold everything together. That is the truth in your life. Okay? God's word. Boils down to this one question. Do you really believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? I have seen a heartbreaking thing over the last 9 months. Christians that have been raised in church, taught the word, crumble in fear, and all they talk about is what if. Truth. How many people have been around people that have just, the sky's falling, it's the end of the world, la, 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 you know? Truth. Yeah. How many people are so tired of it? Is it helping anything? Is it reinforcing the ultimate truth of who God is? So you need to be really careful what we're saying right now. Do you really believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do? If you don't, you should probably be quiet. Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, was promised a son. And he's like, but God, how are you going to do that? It's impossible. La, 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 la. And God just shut his mouth for 9 months. Because if you ain't going to speak what God promised, you probably just shouldn't talk. How many people think that would be a nice thing to try right now? Zechariah, 9 months, built his faith. Because he stopped aligning his voice with the enemy of doubt, fear. Okay? Something to think about. 1 John 4:4, it says, "You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit in this world." Praise reinforces the victory that Jesus already won at the cross. Praise reinforces the victory that Jesus already won at the cross. The battle belongs to the Lord. Our job is to line up our words with God's word and praise and keep our eyes on Jesus and let him fight the battle. Make him bigger. Talk about how incredible he is, how wonderful he is, how faithful he is. But stop repeating all the negativity of the world around you. If not for your sake, at least for the people around you that are tired of hearing it and it's messing with their head. How many people were doing great, they're built up in the word, and they go hang out with other Christians, and they're like, stockpiling 50 pounds of rice underneath my staircase because of and then you're going, I just don't want to hang out with you anymore. Right? Okay. If you don't have anything nice to say, okay, moving on. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. The Lord says, so this is after fasting and praying and praising God, right? Then God speaks. And really, he's always speaking. We just got to tune into him. The Lord says, do not be afraid or dismayed at the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But you will not even have to fight. You will not even have to fight. It says, take your positions and stand still. Rest in the promises of God. Watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So verses 18 through 21, they believed and responded by praising God with a loud voice. Sometimes you got to get louder than the voice in your head. You got to get louder than the person beside you going, wah, 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 okay. By the way, I would like you to note something. God did not instruct them to put the praise team, the worship team, forward first and head of the army. God didn't tell them to do that. They took a hold of God's promise that they weren't going to have to fight and they were going to win the victory, and they responded going, oh, we're going to praise you. We're going to look stupid. We're going to praise you so big. We're going to put the praise and worship band first. Why do we do praise and worship first? Is it just a tradition? I think it actually gets us moving in faith. By the way, I am so grateful for our praise and worship team and our sound team. Yeah, I really do. Guys, they practice, they work so hard, they pray and just pick songs they hear from God that are going to minister to you, to get you out of your head and into the promises of God, to get your eyes on the Lord, to make him so big till impossible situations don't seem impossible. My job is easy because they go first. Judah means praise. Judah was the first tribe in the children of Israel, and they always went first in the army. They took a hold of God's promise and go, we're going to praise you even before we see it done. Amen? So they grabbed a hold of that victory in faith. Verses 22 through 24. God then goes ahead and has the enemy turn on itself and wipe each other out. You ever seen drama people, gossipy people that are trying to ruin your life, and all of a sudden they just end up destroying their own lives trying to ruin yours? Because you just go, you know what? I'm not even going to get pulled into the drama. I am not going to respond on social media with your craziness. I'm just going to go click off my Facebook and go praise God and be about the Father's business and let drama implode on drama. Think about it. God caused the enemy to turn on each other and attack each other and destroyed each other. So by the time the army got there with a praise team and the worship team out front, the enemy was already wiped out. And as far as they could see, it was covered with the spoils of war. So here's the bananas thing. They went ahead and for 3 days picked up the blessing and the vindication and the justice of God for everything Satan tried to steal from them. God gave back above and beyond their highest hopes, dreams, and comprehensions because they praised him. Yes, that is something. Yeah. The Lord has been telling me, there's so much scripture, I think I'm going to do a series on it in January, about the justice of God and God's vindication and his double recompense for everything Satan tries to steal from you. So you better get in faith and start seeing double for your trouble. If you lost business in 2020, you better get in faith. Business is going to double in Jesus' name. Right? If you lost finances fighting cancer, you go, Lord God, not only do we got the victory and I'm going to be cancer free, but we're going to get all those finances back in Jesus' name. Amen? That's what his promise is, okay? All right, so it is all about choosing to praise God in faith in the waiting room, right? Wait actively, roped up, tied to him. expectant of him, praising him, watching God fight your battle, and justice and vindication come. You don't have to do anything, but you are required to stay in faith. And the best way to stay in faith is to run headfirst into the throne room of God and worship and praise. Here's my challenge to you guys. Your Christian fellowship, whatever all-in praise and worship looks like for you, I want you to do it. And if you don't feel like it, Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. You abound in faith with thanksgiving. If you are not abounding in thanksgiving, you are not abounding in faith. You follow me? It's not because you feel like it. It's not because you're seeing a breakthrough. I choose to believe God's promises. I am thanking him for the past victories. I am thanking him ahead of time for him moving. And I'm going to abound. Abound means like overflowing, bouncing through the roof, praise and thanksgiving. What does that look like for you? I don't know. God made us all different. But you go do something that's uncomfortable. Because that is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. You ready for praise and worship to look a little different around here? I am. It requires us to all do it together. So it is all about praising him in the waiting room. How do I know people are tired of waiting? They stop singing the gospel. The almost too good to, the gospel literally means it's almost too good to be true news. It's unbelievable, but it is. And instead of singing gospel, they start singing blues and wallowing songs. Some songs have zero faith in them. That's why we don't sing them around here. I just want to wallow with all my friends, wallow in the mud, the mire clay, the mire clay. We don't have time for those songs, okay? So if it feels like the midnight hour and God has waited down to the last minute, down to the wire, that is when it's time to praise and worship him. What is the midnight hour? Besides some really great Motown songs, okay? The midnight hour is when things feel the darkness and darkest, you feel the weakest. You are fighting discouragement, depression, disappointment. You're expecting God to do one thing and he does something completely different. You do the right thing and it all blows up and hits the fan and everybody blames you. And life just isn't fair at midnight. Does it describe some of the situations going on right now? That's right. That's a midnight hour. And so we can't. So how do we fight midnight madness? Because anybody can worship God when things are going good. Altars are booming and bouncing when this is the day. Everything's great and wonderful and beautiful and glorious, and the economy's booming. But when you're tired and exhausted after 9 months of waiting, that's when you know your real love song is found. Are you a fair weather worshiper? Or do we praise and worship him in the good times and the bad times? Do we worship him in the midnight hour? Because God is still the God at midnight. And he specializes in jail breakthroughs at midnight. So everybody flip forward. We're going to end here and we're going to worship God. So if the worship team, that first song was really fantastic. I don't know if you guys have some time in the next like probably 5 minutes. We're going to worship a little bit. So Paul and Silas were in the waiting room in prison, Acts chapter 16. And we thought our waiting room year was rough. By the way, we kind of complain because we've never experienced anything like this before, but if you read your history books, there's really nothing new under the sun. But they had a really, really rough year too. And actually, in America, fighting this pandemic is so much easier than a lot of other countries out there, okay? So they had a really rough year because they were obedient to God and they did the right thing and they went and delivered someone and set someone free and the whole world turned against them and a mob attacked. And I think we're pretty familiar with mobs at this point. So verse 19, a mob attacked them. Verse 22, they were stripped naked. The bank tries to take everything. Take your car, take your house. They were beaten with rods. And their it says their bones were bruised. So why did they beat them with rods? Because actually, medically speaking, when you bruised a bone, it took months upon months to heal. So you could cut, right? You could get a cut, and cuts normally heal up in about a week. Maybe severe ones, maybe about a month. Bruised bones hurt for months on end. I've done it once before. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never Words hurt. They haunt us for months, years, sometimes even a lifetime, when people, probably close people to you, turn on you and beat you with their words, right? Verse 24, they were in the inner prison, the lowest of the lows. They were chained to the stocks. They were trapped in a circumstance without bail, with no hope in sight, in the darkest, dark dungeon, pressed on every side. And what do we find them doing next? So verse 25 says, it was about midnight, the darkest hour, when everything seems late and everything's hopeless. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and other prisoners listened. Despite how horrible they felt, everybody stand up. I don't care if your knee hurts right now. I don't care how hard this week has been. I don't care if all the kids didn't like their Christmas presents and complained the whole time. Because despite how you feel, despite how bleak the circumstances are, no matter if it seems like there is no way out and this doesn't seem like anything God can turn around, we serve the God of the impossible. And this may feel like your midnight hour, but I choose to lift my eyes to Him. No more hanging heads in shame. This whole bow your head and close your eyes, eyes raised, you look at heaven and you look to Jesus right now. And you remember God is greater than any craziness. God is bigger than any giant. The God of angel armies is about to sweep in, fight the battle, and restore your inheritance double for your trouble. But you better start seeing God fight this battle right now. There are circumstances that need to change now in your life. There are medical reports that need to change now in Jesus' name. There are things in our nation that need to turn around now in the name of Jesus. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, but you are required to keep your eyes on Him. You are required to stir yourself on faith. And if you can't think of anything good in your life, someone beside you is going to tell something good about the Lord. So I want you to sing or say loud or shout. I don't care. Make a joyful noise, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I want us to shout probably even more than sing right now. Because guess what happens at midnight? Suddenly, bam! Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. Things are shaking in America right now. And all at once, do you see an all at once breakthrough in faith? Doors open. God makes a way where there is no way. God will cause some bids to come through right now for your business in the name of Jesus. God is going to see that door thrown open and your prodigal relative and friend restored in Jesus' name. All at once, the doors opened. Behold, God has opened up a door for you that no man, nothing in our economy can shut. And it said the shekels and the chains were broken and unfastened. When you praise God at midnight, things change. Number one, you change. Depression breaks off. Raise your hands, people. Depression, break off now in Jesus' name. Anxiety, fear, broken off in Jesus' name. Mental torment, broken off in the name of Jesus. Mental health, stable, balanced. Diabetes, healed, gone in Jesus' name. Cancer cells, dead. White blood cells, moving in Jesus' name. It also changes your circumstances. Because not only were Paul and Silas set free and vindicated with an apology, the prisoners around you are set free. Others around you change. Verse 25, when Paul and Silas were singing and praising, the prisoners were listening to them. People are watching you and they are listening to you. What you are singing and praising and saying right now. Your words will bring either freedom or align with torment in someone else's life. 26, all the doors were open, everyone's bounds were unfastened, prisoners around them were set free, and the jailer, the enemy and his entire family were saved and baptized. Love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Because God is still the God at midnight. And He still loves your enemy. Will you love them too? This waiting is not about you. It's about the world around you, the people around you, your friends and your family need you to praise God at midnight. Your neighbors are watching and they're listening, they're reading your social media, and they need to see the God of more than enough moving in your life, in your words, in your faith. It's time to reconnect. So worship team, I'm going to pitch this to you. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hallelujah. God of the breakthrough. God of angel armies. This is how we fight our battles.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. Yes, all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Beautiful Savior, beautiful Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes, you have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but sing. My confidence is your faithfulness. Yes, I will rest in your promises. My confidence, come on, is your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises. My confidence, oh, is your faithfulness.
Are true and faithful. If you ask anything according to his will, which is his word, it will be done now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's praise him. Hallelujah! Father, we love you. The victory is in you. You fight our battles. You win every time. We are sticking with you. We are standing. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In Jesus' name. Go declare the goodness of God. Go sing his praises. You tell people of the faithfulness of your life, of the past, present, and the future that you will see. We're going to stir faith in our nation. Amen? Amen. You guys are dismissed. We love you so much.